The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you to Dr. Doug Hughes in the studio again this week for handling the reins. Doug, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Excited to be here today. We have
a lot of exciting stuff going on. To talk about. A lot of stuff going on. We've been sitting in this chair for over 20 years now, after we crossed over, I guess, into our 21st year. As we crossed over, I think it was February 10th of 2021 is when I first started doing this. But anyway, been doing this a long time, and we have been through a lot together. We've talked a lot about many, many things, and hopefully a calming and practical voice to get you through it. And like I said, during 2020 and 2021, during the self-induced economic shutdowns, all the stuff we had to deal with, I said at that time that I was put on this earth in this place for this time. And we have had a pretty easy run here for the last, several years, to be quite honest. If you take out that March to, you know, call it early summer, midsummer market conditions. So anyway, that's where we sit on things today. So I'm going to spend some time talking about what history says about geopolitical events and the market. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. So first of all, let's do very little news of the week because we have a lot of very important news to talk about. Brought to you by Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at 812-323-8300. And Kenny Bland Auctions, I've been active on the site, Doug. Let's just put it that way.
Yes,
I've been buying
yes.
a few things. Bought a gift for someone. Bought a silver bar the other day. Looks like we may have picked up a ring today. So just a lot of stuff going on at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Check it out. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And see if you can bid on something great. But if you also want to plan the pre-planning, your estate or real estate, selling of that, give them a call or visit them at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And finally, Unrivaled Electric, they were out working on my generator last week. They specialize in generators and solar arrays, veteran-owned. They want to be your electrician like mine. Give them a call, 812-361-3604, or find them on Facebook. Now, Doug, I know last week you were here in the studio. You gave me some pretty little tidbits that you talked about.
Yeah. Well, David, you know, we went through a couple things. Josh Norris was on to talk mm-hmm. about Medicare and some changes. Wayne Thacker was on, and he did some really great explanations of some Social Security planning strategies and some success stories. But then, you know, we talked with Rod, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. We also talked about a few things not to do that are knee-jerk reactions. Now, right now, a lot of people might think knee-jerk reactions can come just because the particular geopolitical issues or the markets this year. But, you know, sometimes it's good just to take a step back and say, these are things we covered. Like, if something were to happen to me, should I be taking advice from a well-meaning relative or from a professional? You know, and we've seen that before, Dave, where people have a very good-meaning relative come along and give some advice. It's just not good, even though they mean their best. They don't know. We talked about moving slowly after someone passes or you have a major change in your life to your financial picture. And we talked again, David, right up your alley about taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Tax implications just simply change when changes in your life happen, whether it's a new job, whether it's a death, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a birth. Taxes just simply change. And so those are some of the highlights. It was a great program with a lot of variety.
Haven't had a chance to listen, but I plan to. And of course, if you're listening to Your Money with David Hayes in the podcast, you can also pick up the new podcast, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win. Typically, they are 10 to 15 minutes long. Sans the first edition that was quite longer than that. But I think we're on number 7, heading into number 8. I'll record a new one next Tuesday to record the follow or to launch the following Monday, trying to keep it somewhat topical. But I talked in this past one is what are the things you should do whenever the market's down. And we spent quite a bit of time on that. We also spent time on Social Security in one of the podcasts. We've spent some time on just about any topic you can think of as it relates to what you hear about on this show. But I can't wait until we get a little further in and get into more and more and more of the topics that we just don't take the time to do here on the show because they are deep and wide, and sometimes we have limited time when we're here on the radio. In the podcast stream, you just talk until you're tired, and then you turn it off. That's been enjoyable.
Kind of nice.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, obviously we are seeing Russia move into Ukraine. We saw that last evening on Wednesday. We have obviously concerns about people and the human toll that it could take. So far, it doesn't look like Ukraine's putting up a big fight, at least in those regions. I won't get into all the whys and ifs, but I want to get into more of the idea of what history says about geopolitical events and the market. And like I said, we have been sitting in this seat for a long time, and we have seen a lot of things happen. And people react, like Doug said, a certain way, and sometimes it's knee-jerk. I was receiving texts from friends this morning just talking about, oh, man, I put my money in cash last week. I'm sure glad I did. Well, you know what? There's a lot to be said for being right, but then the question is, you're going to be wrong as well, and that is when you get back in. So I'm going to talk to you about how investing, market stuff, is long-term stuff. If you're a 50-year-old guy, 40, 30, even 60, 65, 70, you should not be in there pulling it in, pulling it out. You are invested for a purpose, whatever you're invested in, and you need to stick to that purpose regardless of what your emotions say. So when we come back, what does history say about geopolitical events and the market? And then later on, we'll talk to Hot Rod and get where we stand on things today. This is Your Money with David Hayes. So what does history say about geopolitical events and the market? Well, of course, the world anxiously waited to see what Russia was going to do. Rod and I talked about they need to either crap or get off the pot. Now, that's an old saying from a Southern Indiana boy, and that's what the markets wanted, and we'll get into more with Rod. On the markets do not like uncertainty. They just don't like it. Once the reality set in, then you can start to digest things. So they've watched anxiously about these tensions with Russia and Ukraine, and then also how reactions of other countries would occur, including the U.S. and others. So we went back and examined market moves around the past geopolitical crises for clues on what you might expect. So we took a look at 29 different geopolitical crises starting in World War II and found that on average, stocks were higher 3 months after a geopolitical shock, the old shock and awe, and following 66% of events, they were higher after only 1 month. Now, the odds that stocks will be higher increases as time passes are also true. In other words, if you stretch it out an entire year, stocks will sometimes jump sharply after a crisis because, okay, it's happened, now what? So now getting out of the market could have some major opportunity costs. So basically, you're looking at this. It goes down, right? You pull your money out because you're scared, and then boom, it jumps quickly. And that has been a pattern of the past. Of course, there have been outliers in the form of more severe spillovers in the economy and markets. I'll give you a couple of examples of that later. But hey, here's one. Now, this goes way back to World War I. The New York Stock Exchange was closed for about 4 months. Can you imagine that in modern days? I mean, we were closed for, what, four days during the 9/11 attacks. But once it opened, it fell by nearly 20%. Now, the 9/11 attacks in the U.S., the financial markets did not reopen until, September 17th, when the S&P fell 5% in 1 day. But while you should be prepared for more volatility, history does seem to suggest that stock declines associated with geopolitical fears are generally a temporary setback and an opportunity to buy if you have cash at discounted prices. Now, I'd mentioned the human horrible, the human toll, which we do not know yet out of Ukraine. My guess is, from what I've seen and heard, and who knows what is really true, that it hasn't been a big bloody bath. And the Russians have moved into some territories that were kind of already pro-Russia anyway. And Russia, of course, did not think that they were a legit state and all those other things. But that's why we keep enough low-risk assets. And I was talking to someone today who has an advisor up in Indianapolis, and I'm like, you know, we all kind of take the plays out of the same playbook, whether mm-hmm. you do it or not, I don't know. But you should always keep enough low-risk assets, like cash or high-quality bonds or fixed index annuities or something that's not going to get disrupted in a major way to cover living expenses during unexpected times. Or if you're retired, this shouldn't bother you that much, because if you have the money in the soon bucket, as we've talked about, that will get you by for the next 5 to 10 years, you have a long time to recover. And we hit that button many, many times in 2020, and we were right. Now, we did not expect back then that the recovery would happen so quickly, but we kept saying when it recovers, and it will, and it always does. Let me give you a couple of examples of past events. Let's go to the more recent one, when the Russia invades Ukraine, the Crimea area, right? This was in February of 2014. So it's very, very similar, right? The market actually ended up the year, 1 year later, at a 14.7% gain. In July of 2006, India, Israel, and the Lebanon bombings went down right out of the gate. A week during that occurrence, ended up nearly 20%. Here's one that's also very similar, but maybe not even this bad. Iraq invades Kuwait. We were down 13% 3 months later. We literally went down the first week, the first month, and 3 months in, we were down 13%, only to finish up 10% after 1 year. Let's take a look at another one. So U.S. bombs Cambodia. This is back in 1970, April. I would have been a whopping 4 months old back then. 1 month in, we were down 6%. By the end of the year, up 27%. Now, there were times, right, during the 9/11 attacks, we were down early. We came back and ended bad in December of that year, so we ended up down 16% for the year. But when I look at time after time after time, the Korean War, think about it, this is one we were involved in, for Christ's sake. We were down 7.6% the very first week after the Korean War started. We were up 11.2% a year later. So those of you that said, I'm out, and you jumped out this week, you best be getting back in, because typically the drops are fast, the rebounds quick, and then the slow crawl back to the top of the mountain typically occurs. And if it doesn't happen this year, it'll certainly happen at some point in that later career bucket over there. And maybe it will be next year or the next year or the next year before you get the returns that we've experienced in the last couple of years. And as Doug pointed out prior to the show, you must say that past performance is no assurance of future results.
That's exactly
But Doug, right. The point is that these are shock and awe moments, and we've seen it over and over and over in our career, and we're just telling people, don't panic, stay where you're invested, you're in the right things for the right reasons, it's going to be okay. And I know that sounds cliche, right, for an advisor to say,
yep.
Keep it in there.
That's right, David, and you know, we have done such a diligent job on this program of talking about the things you can control, the things that you can't control. And one of the things that we always highlight for people that you can control is your allocation. And so when you sit down with a financial professional and you're figuring out, you're rebalancing, you're thinking about, you know, where your portfolio is, it's so easy to read a headline and say this investment was up this percent or that fund was up that. Or someone may call you and say, look at what my fund did last year. But the truth is, the people who are the most successful investors are people who find a risk tolerance that gets them to their stated goals, mm-hmm. but one that they will also stick with, not one that they will be jumping around trying to find something better more quickly all the time. That is the essence of successful investing. And so when you think about these opportunities like invasions of Russia into Ukraine or something along those lines, it's so easy to jump from headline to headline. But the truth is, if you do have that true north direction that you're going, you understand that these things are going to happen. And a quick word on high-quality bonds or, mm-hmm. or fixed indexes, or we'll call them alternatives. You know, when you have insurance, nobody likes paying for insurance. Rod and I were having this conversation earlier. It's a drag on your monthly cash flow. You're paying for insurance on a car when you could be buying new fishing poles, but you have the insurance because of that. When you look at a portfolio, there's a reason why you have these instruments. It is for the insurance. And it may be that 1 year or a few years you don't beat a particular index, but you're not trying to. You're trying to ensure to make sure when things like this happen and you're looking down at your screen and everything is red, I do have something that is kind of holding down the volatility because, and we're probably going to talk about this, that math of recovery is so difficult. When you're down 10%, you need 11 to get back to even. When you're down 15, you need 17 plus to get back to even. When you're down 35, which we're in 2008, it took 38% to get back to even. Actually, more than that. David, it's very difficult. That math of recovery is something that everyone should be paying attention to. Not right now, but the next time the market is up, you need to pay attention then.
And, you know, we have not become accustomed to seeing down months, let alone down quarters.
Right.
And as I've said for the last 2 weeks, it's normal to have corrections of 10% or more once, if not twice, and sometimes even three or four times throughout a year and still end up. It's not uncommon. We have not seen two negative quarters in the last 10 years. We've only seen it twice, and that was in 2015. Can you imagine that for the last 10 years, we've only seen two back-to-back negative quarters. So guess what? It's that recency bias, right? The recency says it always goes up. And hopefully, if nothing else in this show, we try to bring the reality down. We try to put it in perspective and say, no, it does not always go up. And here we are in the midst of a true correction, which is defined when the market contracts 10% or more. We get into 20% or more, then that qualifies as a what?
A bear.
A bear market. And then you think about, okay, how long is it going to take to get out of the bear market? Well, the last one we were in, not too long. Mm-hmm. Previous bear markets, usually 2 to 3 years. Let's take a break. When we get back, Hot Rod will be on the phone to talk about kind of where we are on things right now and how the markets go to the downside quick, and sometimes it takes a bit for get back to the upside. We're going to talk more about the Fed. We're going to talk about inflation expectations, the adjustment on reality, what the markets typically do, consumers, wages, all of that and more. It's Your Money with David Hayes. So when Rod walked in this morning, this was on Thursday morning, I looked at him and I said, well, they finally crapped. And we started laughing because yesterday we said, Russia just needs to crap or get off the pot, and now the market will know how to react. And that's the realities of where we are on this thing. When the market hates uncertainty, like what are they going to do? What are they not going to do? Well, they did it. Now we have to settle in and see where we go from here. So, Rod, I know that wasn't a way you wanted to start your morning, but you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. It does provide a little clarity to the market. Now, obviously, clarity doesn't always mean that you go up based on the clarity. But I think that the market was really struggling with the uncertainty of what is this going to be, a full-blown invasion, taking over of a couple of territories or whatever. Now that the market has a better understanding of what it is, now the market can begin you to move forward and start to assess what impact does it have on the economy and the market. And as I've been saying for a long time, it's not a positive thing by any means whatsoever, but it is far more a human tragedy than it is a financial. Now, of course, we know and understand that there is going to be pressure, especially in the energy space, because Russia is such a big player. Ukraine is a big provider in natural gas and in oil as well. So we're going to have upward pressure there. That does affect quite a few areas of the marketplace. So it's not as though there's zero impact, but a lot of people's buying decisions, especially here domestically, you know, somebody who was going to go to Kroger shopping this coming weekend for their next week's or 2 weeks worth of groceries, they're still going to do that. If they were getting ready to buy a new vehicle, they're still going to do that. If they were going to put a pool in or add a deck to the back of the house, they're still going to do that. So those things are still going to happen, which is why we typically have seen part of what you have alluded to in the previous segments, which is fairly soon after these conflicts start, the market recovers and is then positive after the initial sell-off of the conflict. And I believe we'll see the same thing with this one as well.
I love the fact when we have downturns that it gives people a chance to think about their risk tolerance. Like I mentioned before you came on, I mentioned it for the last 2 weeks, it's normal to have things like this happen, not necessarily invasions all the time, but corrections, maybe even 2-3 a year and still end up the year positive. And that gives people a chance. But when you've only had two negative quarters in the last 10 years, we haven't had a chance to check our risk tolerance. Well, like I say to people, you don't know how much risk you can take until you've taken too much, and then it's too late. But right now, people are experiencing a normal correction in the market. And Rod, as you well know, we've talked about this before, usually it's not death by a thousand pinpricks. It's just a falling knife. It'll finally stick in the floor. You can pick it up, and then you can get on your way. And that's somewhat where we're at today. We don't know, like you said, we never know where the bottom is. We don't know what else could happen. But history tells us that when these types of events happen, and I went through many of them, but if you missed it, when Russia invaded Ukraine before, this was in February of 14, we ended up 14.7%. We started the Korean War, and your term when you and I were going over this prior to the show, the Korean War, we were involved in that one, and it started off, you know, pretty bad for the first week and first month, but then the market ended up 11%. So it's not uncommon, especially early in the year, to have something happen geopolitically and the markets react, which we expected. If this would happen, this would occur. You know, if Russia would have pulled back and said, we're out, guess what would have happened? The market would have went up. So here we are. And you can't time those things. And that was some text that I had from a good buddy this morning on, oh, man, I'm so glad I moved my money into my safe portion of my 401k this week. And I'm like, all right, give us a month or maybe even a 6 month, a year, and we'll see who's right. You stay where you are, I'll stay where I am, and we'll see who's right. So we were jabbing each other back and forth. But that is the reality of it, Hot Rod, and we have been here now for 28 years, I think. Seems like that about that long. You've been at 27 years. We've seen a few things before, and it just doesn't bother me that much. And guess what? Our phones are not ringing at the office off the hook. Yeah, we have an occasional person call or email with a slight concern, but I really am grateful for that those folks, because they are conditioned to understand that the money that we're going to need to put that pool in, right, to buy that car, if we're paying for cash, is not in the market. That's money that we have set aside for that purpose. You're in the midst of putting a pool in. You don't have that. Knowing you, Rod, maybe you have. I don't know. You're on top of it every day. But the most people know you're not going to have that money sitting in the stock market, so you have plenty of time to work things out.
You're correct. And hey, and even though I am on top of it and I am managing it on a daily basis, I don't expose my short-term dollars to the equity market as well. Because although history tells us and is a good guide that this is probably what's going to happen, there are no guarantees. You already said it. We don't know what comes up in the future that is unexpected in the next week, 2 weeks, month, 2 months, that may reverse a potential recovery that begins when the market says, oh, okay, hey, this is bad for Ukrainians, but it's not bad for our market or our economy, and we start moving back up. We don't know what else is going to present itself that has nothing to do with that situation that the market could perceive as negative. So that's exactly why, even though I'm on top of it daily, hour by hour, minute by minute, I don't expose my dollars that I'm going to need to spend in 3 months into the equity market. I set those aside in cash, just like we encourage our clients to do. My dollars that are exposed into the equity market right now, those are long-term dollars. I don't expect to need those for 10 plus years. So I haven't done anything with them other than look for opportunities to buy with some of the cash that I have. And that's really what these events create, as a buying opportunity. And any buy that I make, I'm not making it today because it's the ultimate low and the bottom of how low that stock is going to go. I'm not interested in catching the bottom. I'm interested in buying quality companies at good valuations that will be at better valuations 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. That's Hot Rod. Rod, real quick before I let you go, consumer spending is up, but also prices are up, so that's kind of a wash. We talked about wages being up, but inflation up, and that's kind of a wash. There's still a lot to keep our eyes on, and you certainly are doing a great job back at the shop. So any final comments before we let you go?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I shared this with Doug this morning as we were having that conversation along the lines of some of the stuff that said, as far as the consumer is still doing well, and though the wage increases haven't benefited in real wage increases, they're actually slightly negative due to inflation. But I think the biggest thing is as you said, evaluate your real risk tolerance. Don't make a change right here in the middle of panic mode, but evaluate it and determine if you need to slightly adjust it in the future, and then just know and understand that what's going on over there, while as bad and awful as it is, it really is going to have minimal impact on a lot of our sectors and subsectors, especially when you look at, say, small caps and mid caps who may be only doing business here in the United States. So try and avoid making decisions based off of emotions, whether that emotion is greed or fear. It typically does not lead to the best decision that can be made. So do your best to pull those emotions out of it and think long-term as to what are you really trying to accomplish with the dollars that you're exposing to the market.
Worst thing ever done to the average investor were monthly and quarterly statements. Well said, Rod. We're going to let you go. We'll see you back at the ranch.
All right. Have a great show, Dave.
When we come back, you think diversification is going to protect you all the time? Sometimes it doesn't. And we actually had a brief moment here in the first month and month and a half where it did not. When you start interest rates going up, bond values start to go down, and you have stocks going down at the same time, that typically levels out. But we're going to talk about what is the deal with bonds, because I thought that was the place that I should be for my safety. But sometimes those prices move up and down too. We'll talk about the cause and effect of interest rates on fixed income when we come back at Your Money with David Hayes. Yeah, you would think diversification would protect you, and it does and can to some degree, but sometimes it doesn't. When your bonds are down along with your stocks, we need that explained. Doug Hughes, I know the difference between owning a bond or owning a stock. You teach about this in your Retirement Planning Today course at Ivy Tech. Another class coming, two classes coming up in March. If you want to check that out, go to the Ivy Tech website, go to the Center for Lifelong Learning. You can sign up. It's a two-day class, two-evening course. About 5 hours total. You get two textbooks and, yes, 5.5 hours with Dougie Hughes.
Wow. That sounds just so inviting. I'm surprised you haven't already signed up, Hayes. The difference between owning and loaning, when you buy a stock, you buy ownership in that company. When a company decides that it wants to expand or to grow, one option is to issue shares. And those shares go on to the market, say the New York Stock Exchange. And if a company, I'll just throw a name out there, Amgen, decides that it wants to allow some ownership into their corporation to raise some dollars, they sell shares of stock. And those stock shares are purchased, and you are an owner until you sell those shares. But say Amgen wanted to put a building together, and they didn't want to sell shares of the company, but they needed money, so they decided to do a bond. Then you, when you buy that bond, you are loaning your money to that corporation, and in exchange for that loan, they give you the terms, say a 10-year bond paying 3%. You know that when you buy that at the end of 10 years, you get your money back, and along the way, they are paying you a 3% interest payment. So stocks, you're buying shares of that. You own those shares of the corporation. When you buy a bond, you are loaning your money to a corporation or a municipality or a government or whatever the bond issue is from, and they promise to give you the money back plus interest.
So what affects bond prices? There's a couple things. Primarily interest rates, but the second thing is what we call credit spreads. And that's just what kind of risk is perceived in the market. If there's not a lot of risk, they'll push bond prices up, especially lower rated bonds. But I want to focus on the big cat daddy of them all, and that's interest rates. That's the main driver. So think about the U.S. Treasury rates. Those are considered the risk-free rate. That's what everything is benchmarked off of. So you have a high-quality bond that is issued by a very well-known company, lots of cash flow, solid, you know, and they're not going anywhere. So like Doug said, they issue a loan, a bond, and you buy it. And let's say it pays 3%, and it matures in 10 years. Well, your bond is going to be most closely tied to the 10-year treasury. So let's say the 10-year treasury is at 1.5, and you're getting paid 3. So you're getting paid 1.5% over the risk-free rate. That's just what the market is saying at that time is what people are willing to pay. Well, then the treasury rates jump from 1.5 to 3. And guess what happens to your bond? If the market wants 1.5 or 2% above the risk-free rate, now the same bond you own is not worth as much money because the market demands 4.5 or 5. Now, you're going to own that bond possibly for the remainder of the term. You'll continue to get your 3%, and you'll get your value at maturity, assuming the company's still solvent. But in the meantime, the value of your bond has dropped, so if you want to sell it, it's worth less. Now, the opposite's true, and we saw that in this week when the market started to tank based on the Ukrainian-Russian situation. What happened? Everyone runs the quality. Not everyone, but a lot of money moves to quality. That's treasuries and high-quality bonds. So rates have come down a little bit, I think from 180 to 160, something. It doesn't matter. So you would see those values creep back up. So when interest rates go down, your bond values go up. When the interest rates go up, your bond values go down. Typically, for every 1% move in rates, a bond will move somewhere between 7 and about 12%, depending on the maturity. Now, you backfill that with some interest over time. Yeah, it feels kind of bad in the beginning, and that's what happened from the end of last year until about a week ago, that interest rates were on the rise. Why? Because the Fed was acting, inflation was there, so rates were on the rise, so your bond values were dropping. So it wasn't uncommon to look at your statement if you were balanced and think, well, look, the market's down, but should my bonds be at least up or stable? Well, unfortunately, we went through a little period of time where they were both down based on interest rate changes going up, values down, and the market going down, and much of that was because of the same exact reasons. So just understanding how those things work, I think, put that in perspective. Let's take a break, Doug. When we come back, what most of our listeners want to do is, what do they do? You know, I'm looking at people that are in static portfolios, meaning I'm not putting money in, I'm not taking money out. We have people that are putting money in each and every paycheck through 401k or some other type of retirement account. So I want to talk about a couple of tricks of the trade that we've used over the years that might help make, yes, as they used to say, my grandma did, let's make some lemonade out of lemons. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, how do you make lemonade out of lemons? You're watching the market drop. We're down over 10% for the year. What do? I'm sitting in my 401k at work. I'm panicking. I want to go to cash. Do the opposite. What do you do when things are on sale at Kohl's? Do you go buy more, or do you run away from the store? If you have a sale on pizza at Mother Bear's, do you go sign up and get you a big, large pizza? Or do you say, I'm never going to eat pizza at that kind of a discount? Well, unfortunately, stocks and real estate are the only two things in my world that I've ever seen people run away from when they get cheaper. Well, right now is the time to do what is totally counterintuitive to our human behavior, and that's to buy more. That is, hit the reset or rebalance button. And Doug, this is a great time to do it because even though, yes, your bond values might be down a percent or something, and your stocks are down 10, and you had a portfolio set up with 80% of your money in stock and 20% in bonds in your 401k, you can log on right now, and you can go to that little rebalance button and hit it, and by tomorrow, you'll have sold off some of your bonds and bought more stock, That's exactly the way you're supposed to do it. What's the number? When people say, I'm going to give you a tip, sell high, buy low.
That's right.
Right? And this is not perfect, but it certainly is a technique that's tried and true.
Absolutely. And sometimes there's just opportunities that are in front of you. And right now, when someone has had a good run, for example, in bonds, and they've had a more difficult challenge here in the equity markets over the last 6 weeks, this might be the time to do some rebalancing or sweeping and keeping, as we call it.
Another technique that we talked about back in March of 2000, and I know for a fact several of you did it because you told me about it, front load your 401k contributions. Many of you have set this up to put your money evenly over the course of the year. You don't have to do that. If you can afford it, you could go in tomorrow and say, I want to put 100% of my pay next time into my 401k. And that's, you can do that as long as you don't hit those magical limits of, you know, 19.5 or whatever age you are. Mm-hmm. But you can do that. So you could literally front load your contributions, buy at these discounted prices. I loved it last year hearing the success stories of that people doing that. So you can do that. You can go in, change your percentage that you want withheld, buy more. You know, that's, again, an easy way for you to do that. If you can afford it. Now, you may have to skip a paycheck or two. But if you can do that and can afford it, it's a really good way to take advantage of what's going on, again, making lemonade out of lemons. The other thing, and I'm almost reluctant to say this because it could be a rush on the doors, and that is Roth conversions.
Yes.
Whether it's in-plan Roth conversions, whether it is IRA Roth conversions, in the book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. If you haven't read it, please read it. If you want to listen to it, the Audible's available. Read it. But on Roth conversions, I talk about the Roth conversion strategy. When do you do a Roth conversion? Well, just like you wait to pay the taxes when they're the cheapest, not at the furthest time in the future, Roth conversions are no different. The market's down 10%, 15%, whatever. You can convert to a Roth. You'll convert at these cheaper prices, right? You pay tax on a cheaper amount of money. Now, it's less money, but it's cheaper. And then when it recovers, and it will all recover tax-free. So you're paying tax on the seed, but then everything after that, the harvest, is tax-free. So the rule of thumb is when we have a correction of 10% or more, or the end of the year, whichever comes first, that's when you do a Roth conversion. Did a podcast on this a couple of weeks ago. You can go listen to it in more detail. But why I say there could be a run on the doors, because I know in our office we're extremely active with doing Roth conversions, mm-hmm. analyzing that, making sure they're doing the right thing at the right time. And I know we only have so much staff like everyone else, and it could be difficult if people are listening, like, I want to do that. I want an analysis. Well, hey, that's why you get paid what you get paid to be where you are when it's time to be there, mm-hmm. and that is to take care of people. So Roth conversions, 401k conversions, Roth conversions, all of that stuff, it's a great time to do it.
Great time to do it, and also be thinking about that 12/31 of 2025. You also want to have a plan not just to do it today, but this is a good opportunity to set the whole thing in motion for a few years ahead of time.
Right. I mean, yeah. We really have, another 4 years before we at least know legislatively taxes are going up, but we don't know for sure how high after that, or that could be extended for a while. There's so many things out there, guys, that we hear and we believe are true, but I can tell you with my associations with some of the people that I'm associated with, like the Ed Slot Company and more, I usually get an idea of what's really possible and what's just, talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to my best to not let people know what they're just talking about, but what's actually possible, and then we can plan towards it, because that's all you can do is plan towards what you call them, the known unknowns.
That's
right?
That's right, the known unknowns.
And we have the known knowns.
That's right.
And it's the known unknowns that we are always cognitive of, and you don't know when they're going to come, but they're there. But if you prepare yourself, then you can better weather through those known unknowns.
That's right.
Who's famous for saying that?
There's a great book, Richer, Wiser, Happier, that is about all these managers who have managed money so well over the last 30 years. And one of those people in particular.
I thought it was Rumsfeld.
It might have been. It might have been Rumsfeld. He talked about war, and I think he talked about the known unknowns. And actually, I've heard it from a lot of different, but there was a portfolio manager somewhere that came up with the known unknowns.
I thought
unknowns.
You came up with that,
Well,
Doug.
I would, sure, I did.
I'll take credit for
I
that.
I did, David,
it's
yes.
It's kind of like bird in the hand, two in the bush.
That's, right.
That's you too, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, it was me. It was me.
All right, Doug, let's take a quick break. I know let's check my time here real quick. And again, tonight on Thursday night, I'm here recording on a Thursday because we have a taxes and retirement in the legacy tonight. I think we have a big crowd showing up, so that's awesome, and we're doing it via Zoom. And then next March 8th, I'll be at the Ivy Tech doing taxes and retirement. We have three or four, and I was telling Christina before I came in today that after tonight, we'll have been in front of over 200 people in the last mm-hmm. month telling the narrative.
Yeah.
And like I've said, as I entered this year, I don't want to tell this story 3,000 times to 3,000 people. I want to tell it like 300 times to thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
So that's been my mission. Even when someone will say, ask me questions about them, I'm like, listen to this podcast, come to this program. I'm not going to go through an hour
Absolutely.
And 25
yeah.
minutes with you individually here. Come join the movement. We'll take a break. We'll come back to Your Money with David Hayes. Doug, you knew I was in the Bahamas last week for a few days, and that's why you took the reign of the show.
Yeah.
We haven't talked much about it. Did some fishing, had some sunshine. It was great, just Wednesday to Sunday and out. Of course, spring break's coming up in a few weeks here locally when the town becomes a ghost town.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys have plans for that?
Yeah, we're going to do some fishing. Daniel and I, he's on this quest. He wants to catch multi-species fish, so we're going to go
wondering
down.
Where he gets that from. He didn't make that up on his own.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, these kids watch so many YouTube videos these days, and he loves fishing videos. So maybe he's watching those and thinking, hey, we can catch that and that and that. But so we're going to go down to Tennessee and do some we're going to go striper fishing, we're going to go trout fishing, and we're going to go giant catfish fishing.
Oh, that'll be fun.
All down in Tennessee.
Noodling? So, noodling?
I hope not. We'll see.
it's
amazing
what
Hughes, a parent will do.
If Hughes is noodling, I need footage.
Yes.
Like, not just, I mean, full footage, not just a picture.
It might be
or two. On,
it might hit the major networks if I was doing
well,
that.
Well, certainly at our Christmas party.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we have a lot of time to plan for that. Yeah, we're going to head down to Clearwater. That's one of our favorite spots, and hang out there at the old Sand Pearl. And yeah, it's just going to be nice to get away. And of course, now I don't have a reason to go on spring break because I don't have a child in school, thankfully. But for some reason, you just can't give up the goat. I mean, it's just been a tradition to leave around the 13th of March. You're gone a week. There's nothing else going in town.
Right.
In fact, if you stay in town and you try to get appointments with people or do whatever it is you do, I mean, it's just like you're just you're looking around for things to do. So, yeah, my next mission is to get the boat out of storage and start getting that cleaned up when I get back from spring break. And then usually around Good Friday is when I start hitting it again. And I was talking with someone I ran into at an event who bought the fishing experience with me on at a CASA event, I believe, or one of the events where we gave away an experience. And I said, well, you're in luck. I said, I'll be there with you. I'll be operating the boat, but I have the 2019 Bass Collegiate Champion will be guiding us that day.
Nice.
And he says to me, Adam Puckett? And I said, no, Blake Albertson. I told Blake that because Adam's out in Texas. But those two combined won the 2019 National Collegiate Championship, of course, both local boys. And, yeah, they both graduated Murray State. But thankfully, Blake's back. He's taking over his dad's agency, the Allstate agency in town. Yeah, so he's around to fish. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And I was like, what did you pay for? Like a couple $100? And, I mean, you end up paying like more than that, like double that. And I thought, oh, now the pressure's really on.
You better get some
fish. I'm like, can we just go crappie fishing?
Yeah.
I can catch a lot of those.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But I'm looking forward to spring, and I can't believe that, you know, February's almost over already. But I'm grateful that the mask thing's going to be going away next week with the schools and all around, and we just get back to normal here locally. And, yeah, start doing the things you've always done and enjoyed. And hopefully we'll continue to bring good stuff here. We're going to talk a little bit about HFAs next week, the triple threat, the tax deduction in, tax-free growth, and tax-free out. Who else can provide that? And just a couple of other little unknown things, or maybe known but not widely known things that people can do to, once again, help get them out of the crosshairs of higher taxes coming. So, Doug, thanks for being up here with
me.
I knew it was an important time with crazy things going on that people hear what we had to say.
Absolutely.
I'll be putting a video out today that will actually go out tomorrow with a little tidbit on some of the things we talked about here. And then if people want to listen to the show, then press a button and listen to the show in its entirety once it goes to WGCLradio.com this evening. That is Thursday. So I hope everyone has a great rest of the week. Have a great weekend, and we'll be right back here in the saddle next Thursday. Have a great one, everyone. Goodbye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.